I just want to take a moment and introduce Jim. As you can tell, he is a musician. He's a pianist, singer, and songwriter at Unity of Gaithersburg in Maryland. So that's where he comes from. He's a member there as well. He's written several songs that are used each week in the service and performed a dozen more. And I love this, in a genre he calls inspirational rock music. I love that. And he's got two CDs, I think, available. You have two CDs out there available? Mm-hmm. That's what your bio had said. But Dr. Jim Goldstein spent 4 years as a college professor and 14 years as a clinical psychologist in private practice. And after working with hundreds of individuals, couples, and families, he realized that there were certain patterns of communication that interfered with the development and the maintenance of healthy relationships. And so in response to the need for clear, concise communication, he developed a process which allows people to speak truthfully without causing defensiveness or hurt feelings. And he teaches this process in a workshop for couples and singles, because we all have relationships of some sort, right, called powerful partnerships. And he found that powerful partnerships has a transforming effect on relationships regardless of how long people have felt stuck or unhappy. And that the program not only improves how couples and families function, but also has a major impact on leadership, teamwork, and productivity in business. So we can all use this, no matter if you're married, single, whatever. We're all in relationships of some sort. He has a new book out called The Powerful Partnerships, The Power to Transform Any Relationship into a Great One, and he's a speaker and executive coach. So I'm thrilled to introduce to you, he's here actually with Lauren, his wife. They celebrated last week in Victoria their 29th wedding anniversary. So, yeah. So I think he knows a little bit about what he's talking about. So let's welcome Dr. Jim Goldstein.
Thank you very much. Before I get into the main part of my talk, I wanted to say that when I was being trained as a psychologist, the man who was training me said, "Jimmy, let me tell you something. If you ever meet somebody and they're happy, don't be pushing them to get married." You know, I'm like, what? And if you ever have a married couple that doesn't have kids and they're happy, don't push them to have kids. The point is to be happy. You know, if you're happy, you're happy. And so I always remember that there's not some better way to be, and I'm not here to really say, oh, yes, everybody should be married and everybody should be in a committed relationship. However, my experience has been that there's something about a committed relationship that offers you an opportunity for spiritual growth that's like no other. It's really amazing. You really get a chance to know yourself in a way that it's not as easy to do when you're just living by yourself. I've noticed that there are two things that human beings think are really important. And one of them is connection. We need to be connected. Actually, you can't even be human unless you're raised by humans. I don't know if you know that, but that's part of what it means to be human, is that you're around other humans and humans have raised you. You remember they found these two little girls in the early 1900s who were raised by wolves in India. They found these two girls and they brought them in from the wild. And one of them like died in a week, and the other one, they never made her into a human. They couldn't do it. You always were in the presence of an animal. They just couldn't do it. So there is something about being around humans. You need this connection. And if you're disconnected too much, all kinds of weird stuff happens. People, whenever you find someone who's done something, like the recent news article says, like, he's a loner. There's something about being too alone, too disconnected from other people that isn't healthy. So people all want connection, but they also want freedom. It's part of what makes our country great, why it's so appealing. They like their freedom. I want to be close to you, but I don't want you to tell me what to do. And I don't want my freedom impinged. And there is something that you gets impinged when you're in a committed relationship. You can't just do what you want. You're not completely free to do whatever you feel like doing. And my brother, who's a bachelor, says to me, he says, "You know, Jimmy, Sometimes I wake up in the morning, I go into the kitchen, and I see the butter's spill out from the night before. So I just pick it up, and first I butter my toast, and then I put it back in the refrigerator. He says, there's nobody saying, you know, you left the butter out. He likes that. He has all the freedom he wants. He can do what he wants. But there is something really special about having this partner and learning that balance between connection and freedom and how you do that. And it's kind of an amazing way to grow. What I found is that part of the reason that people are unhappy in relationships, or not as happy as they used to be, I wouldn't say unhappy, but definitely they're not feeling like they were when they were dating. And remember that feeling in the beginning when you couldn't wait to be with the person and you just liked everything about them and you were quick to forgive them? Remember that? It's like you go out with somebody and they spill their drink. Like, hey, these things happen. Don't worry about it. No big deal. I can get these dry cleaned. You know? But later, you know, your partner spills something. What's the matter with you? It's the third thing you've spilled. It's not so easy to forgive as you go on. And so over time, what I've noticed with couples is that it's not that they're unhappy, but they don't have that level of connection, the level of passion that they used to have. They just, something about that very, very slowly fades. And you can maybe rationalize it or accept it or say it doesn't have to be so great. But I've always been curious about that. What is that? Why does that feeling of excitement that you used to have in the beginning fade over time? And I really do feel like I've discovered why. Part of it has to do with people are connecting with each other for the wrong reasons. You don't get married and you don't form a committed relationship to make you happy. And if you go into it with that expectation, you're kind of setting yourself up. It's not what it's for. We all know this. We're in unity. Happiness comes from inside of you. And this person gives you an opportunity to bring forth your happiness. But they don't really provide it, even though they might seem like they do. There's a quote from A Course in Miracles that says, the search for the special relationship is the sign that you equate yourself with the ego and not with God. For the special relationship has value only to the ego. To the ego, unless a relationship has a special value, it has no meaning. So this can't be natural because it's unlike the relationship of God and His Son. And all relationships that are unlike this one must be unnatural. So the notion that, if you ever hear yourself saying, you could be so good for me, I mean, you're in trouble. Because it means that there is some part of you that's hoping to get something from someone that would make you feel good about yourself. Now, I'm not saying it isn't normal to want to be around a person who makes you feel great about yourself. I mean, I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think that's what partners can do for each other. But you don't want to connect with this person or have this person be the source of your happiness. And even if you're lucky enough to find a person who is the source of your happiness, you are absolutely bereft when they die or leave. It's a mess. It just take a piece of you when they go. So you want this, your happiness definitely to come from inside, and you want to use your relationship to bring that about. I've been just studying this for so long. You know, people who are happily married, they talk about one another as people they admire, respect, and genuinely like. It has to do with kind of accepting them as they are. But when you get together with another person, like, I think it was Oscar Wilde who made this quote, which I thought was brilliant. He said, the enemy of art is the absence of limitation. You ever heard that? The enemy of art is the absence of limitation. I thought, what does that mean? Enemy of art? Well, when you think about it, you would think that if you could just take the limits off, you'd have more creativity, you'd have more art, If we just had more colors, we could do better paintings, right? So the computer gives you 93 million colors. I don't think it necessarily makes for better art, you see? If you take the limitations away, it doesn't afford you the opportunity for the creativity to come out. When somebody only has this many colors, and they've got the canvas, and it's only this big, they've got to make that picture come forth within that limitation, you see? And without the limitation, what if we had a huge canvas, endless colors, unbelievable number of palettes? No, it doesn't work. Make it work within this. And that's what people do in a great marriage or in a great committed relationship, is that there are limitations. You can't do anything you want. You have to figure, how are we going to make it work within this? How can we stay within these bounds and then be creative and come up with something that really works? And when you do, it's very, very fulfilling. It's very fulfilling. I know that we can't help but model what our parents went through. We either want to recapitulate what we saw or we want to have the opposite of what we wanted to get away from. But my parents were very close, and they did everything together. And they were one of these couples that always went on vacations together and rode bikes together and did everything together. And when I met Lauren, we had this kind of idyllic romance in that my folks had this place on the river halfway between Philadelphia, where she lived, and Washington, where I lived. So we'd meet at the summer house, and we had boats, and what's not to like? And we'd each drive down and meet each other for a weekend and then drive back. So it was really great. And then we didn't live together at all until we got married. But when we got married, the limitations quickly set in. It was almost impossible to live there. You probably know this thing about opposites attract. And the more opposite you are, often the more attraction there is. But it's nature's little joke that there's all these other opposites that you can't get along with. That if they're this way and you're that way, it's not so easy to live together. So when we started to live together, things got very intense. She's very neat and orderly. A place for everything and everything in its place. And as it turns out, I didn't realize this, but I am one of the great slobs of our times. I make messes wherever I go, cabinets left open, clothes left all over the place. And it was it was very, very difficult for us to come to terms with this. Often we were like two stallions on our hind legs. And on top of which, I had this vision of this is going to be great. This is going to be what my parents had. We're going to be this team and we're going to do everything together. And we'll do this and we'll do that. And I know it's true because all the fun we had when we used to meet at the house. And she said to me, Jimmy, I have to tell you something. When we were dating, I just loved you and I wanted to be where you were. So when you got in the ski boat, I got in the ski boat. And when you got in the sailboat, I got in the sailboat. And when you went fishing, I went fishing. But I don't really like any of those things. What? What do you like? She says, I like gardening. Gardening? Gardening? I was just like, and this isn't going to work. You're kidding. You don't like that stuff? She says, no, I just like you. And you got in, so I got in. But I don't like that stuff. And I'm never going to go fishing. And I don't ride a bike either. You don't ride a bike? No, I never learned. I'm not going to now. It was upsetting. Whatever that dream I had of my wife and I bicycling through Europe, that wasn't going to happen. And so it looked like at that time that I couldn't be happy because I couldn't make this picture work. And also it looked like for her she couldn't be happy because I was just a disaster, making messes every place I went and losing stuff. And I'm just the poster child for ADD. So it was hard. It was very difficult to come to terms with this. And at a certain point, I actually thought that, I had a belief that she was, I'll go into this more, I have this workshop, I talk about this more, but I actually thought, have you ever seen the movie The Terminator? It's about this robot that looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger that comes from the future to find this woman and keep her from reproducing by killing her. And I was convinced that Lauren was a cyborg robot, that she actually was the Terminator, and she had come from the future programmed to marry Jim Goldstein and keep him apart from the things that he loves. And I had witness and evidence to prove it and all this kind of stuff. You know, and she thought I was the bane of her existence too. So it was very difficult. It was hard to work it out. But what we found was that intimacy is not just being close. It's not just liking the same things. It happens through a series of forgivenesses. That you get intimate with a person when you have a glitch with them and you get through the other side of it. And then you know them better. And then you're more sensitive to where their boundaries are. And you learn to navigate their coastline correctly. There's some elegance in that. You're like, ooh, we know how to do that. You see? And so we worked it out. It wasn't easy. And part of what I discovered was that my usual way of talking to a person when things aren't going great is trying to persuade them, trying to get them to see that they're wrong and, you know, that I'm right. And logically, this makes more sense and we should, you know. I saw this T-shirt this guy was wearing the other day. It says, "Teamwork is a whole bunch of people doing what I say." Be nice. But it's not that. I think what happens with people is that when things don't go your way, when you're not just all, in, you know, when you have enough love, you don't even have to be a good communicator because you're in that place where almost everything's forgivable. But when you're stressed out or when your expectations aren't met and someone's really upsetting you, the usual way that you speak actually makes it worse. And the things that you say, even if they make sense and other people agree with you, don't carry the day. They don't change your partner. So what I came up with was that what people need to be with each other is powerful. And that means not using force on each other, not coercing each other with guilt and everything else and logic and all the other things that they do to try to be reasonable. When you're powerful, and this is what I show people how to do, when you're really powerful, everybody around you wants to do what you want out of their relationship with you. They just want to. That's how it was in the beginning, you know. It's a funny thing. In relationship, when you just meet somebody, you probably would like to please them if you could, you know. If you just met me and you said, "Oh, would you like some coffee?" I would say, "Oh, that'd be great." What do you think you'd say next? Yeah, how do you like it? Cream and sugar? And I'd say, "Oh, I like 3 sugars and 1 cream." How would you make it if I said that? 3 sugars and 1 cream. You know, it's only later after you're married that you go like, you're making coffee for your partner. You go, "You don't need that much sugar." something shifts, you know. But it's a natural thing when you're in relationship to want to please your partner. And I found that if you can get in touch with what the truth is for you, the truth of your experience, and you can express that, especially when you're upset or things aren't going your way, you actually break through to another side where you get back in touch with wanting to please the person. And then everything's easy. You're not doing it because you've been talked into it, and you're not doing it because you're resigned to this is what I got to do to get along. Reminds me of those bumper stickers, I owe, it's off to work, I go. That's so depressing. It's like the worst reason to go to work. You want to go to work because you're passionate about it, because you're looking forward to it, because it's exciting to you, you see? And the same thing is in a committed relationship. You want to feel like, no, I want to be with you. I like how I feel when I'm around you. I want to be with you. I want to please you if I can. It's just what I want to do. Then it doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like you're coerced. Then you're really powerful. And as you learn to tell the truth and get over what's bothering you in the presence of your partner, you can forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive until there's nothing to forgive. And you can get to a place where you actually have no history anymore. Lauren and I hit that after a while. Like, we don't got any history. This is amazing. Every time we have an argument, it's just about what we're arguing about. It's not the kitchen sink and the other time, and it doesn't remind me of a time with your parent. None of that's all gone now. So it's not that we don't argue, but it doesn't last long. Anyway, I think there's a special opportunity that you have in a committed relationship to know yourself as God and to understand how blessed you are. That the transformation that happened with Lauren is that she turned from the Terminator into this angel. I started to see her as a blessing. The same thing, sent to earth to take care of me, to let me know that I was loved. And it was sort of like proof that God exists, because so many things were happening that were blessing me through her, you know. That it's just to have a person see more than you're currently showing them, you know, to draw from your highest self and to hold you in that esteem no matter what, you know. And thank you very much.